I tried to do it. I told y'all last week I was going to leave the show, head over to Sanderson Ford, buy myself a new truck. So I went over to Sanderson Ford. They had a couple of the trucks that I had let them know I'd be interested in. Sitting out front of the showroom, I parked my truck. I took a couple drives. I decided which one I wanted, but I left the lot for another appointment. Called the lot a few minutes later and said, you know, that's the truck I want. They said, well, it's sold. I said, okay, well, then I'll take option B. Well, that one sold too. So, oh, man, I tell you what, that new little Ranger truck is going to be the truck I put all my superintendents in from now on. That is a great little truck. And that Maverick,
and
I didn't drive a Maverick, but boy, from all the reports, this Maverick is incredible.
One that's both that and the Ranger, you know, it's one you can reach your tools just over the side.
I love that.
You don't have to climb up on the tire.
Lifter shoes, a little stair step stool carried around to reach over the sidewalls, that's for sure. So I'm still in the buying mode. I'll snap something up here. I've got my man at Sanderson Ford looking for me. He knows exactly what I want. And he'll find it, and he'll get his hands on it, and it'll be delivered, and we'll be in great shape. If you're interested, if you contractors out there did well this year, what better place to invest some of that profit than a new rig, your office on wheels? And if you are considering it, get to Sanderson Ford before the end of the year. Take advantage of that Section 179 in the IRS tax code. It's a big, big benefit for those of you that are in need of a new truck. So, car shopping, truck shopping, get over to Sanderson Ford. 64 acres, they did have a good number of inventory, but boy, product is moving fast. Open every day except Sunday, the only place the Romeros have bought a car in the last
core.
Your mic is on.
Core.
The only place we bought a car, SUV, or pickup truck in the last 40 years.
I'm going to ask John Pratt about a core.
Core.
I bet you they're selling
a new core. We'd like. Wait, Rosie wants a new core now.
Well, we talked about, you know, one of the ways to reduce stress is, you know, charity causes, and we've got one of our favorites here in studio, Mr. John Junker with St. Vincent de Paul. Good Saturday morning. Merry Christmas.
And to you gents and all our listeners across Arizona and all over the country.
And if somebody's not familiar, just, you know, a quick elevator speech, man, about what y'all do for the community.
Well, St. Vincent de Paul is an international organization, but it's organized locally. So here in the Phoenix area, we've been operating since 1946, and volunteer participation is really what it's all about. We're nearly entirely funded by free will donations. People decide they like to see what we do. They like our mission, and we do pretty much everything. Our by phrase is feed, clothe, house, heal. So those are the things we do. We have the state's largest charity dental and medical clinics, the Virginia G. Piper Clinics, that have been nationally recognized. We have 5 charity dining rooms in the valley that serve clients pretty much every day of the week. We have a large food reclamation operation. We have an urban farm that reclaims about 40,000 pounds of food to our kitchens a year. And then we have a big program to prevent homelessness and to help the homeless, but also to prevent people from being homeless is a big part of what we do. And then we're also really proud of our 80 chapters or conferences of charity around the state that are in 80 neighborhoods in central and northern and northwest Arizona. Those are staffed by our Vincentian volunteers, and many of them are out this very day, this very moment. They're out doing their Christmas programs for toys, food boxes, grocery gift cards from our friends at Albertsons and Safeway. They're really busy right now delivering that to families. So we have really two ways. Our center in just south of downtown Phoenix that has our clinics and our shelter for seniors. It has our our Walton Urban Farm, all the other things that I mentioned first. And then we also have the second, I call it the second arm. We embrace our clients with two arms to help people. And the second one is our conferences out, our chapters out around the state. So it's a pretty aggressive program in terms of trying to do everything we can to give people just a little help who need a little help, who have some unfortunate things happen just maybe for an interim. And, you know, by and large, it works great and people get bouncing along again.
I knew y'all had satellite neighborhood services throughout the state. I did not know you had 80.
Yeah, we're excited about that, Rosie.
Wow.
There's about 65 of them here in Maricopa County.
Wow.
And then we have about another 15 out around the state, as far away as Tuba City. Dolan Springs up in the northwest corner as you head into the Grand Canyon on the west rim. Dolan Springs over there, Kingman, Flagstaff, Payson, Cottonwood, the Verde Valley. So we're really blessed to have those chapters and our Vincentian volunteers all over the state.
Now, being as heavily embedded in the operation as you are, what would you consider one of your benchmark accomplishments for last year? I cannot imagine running an operation impacting this many people with this many volunteers that had to navigate the COVID mask pandemic mandates.
That's great you bring up those points, because we definitely want to talk about volunteers before I leave, Rosie. But the accomplishment I think that our people are very proud of is our five dining rooms in the valley did not miss one day of service to the people they serve through the pandemic, through all the issues of, you know, masks and sanitation and all the stuff that we all dealt with in every walk of life. But you can imagine what it must be like in a food service operation where a lot of your clients have a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different issues to address. And our food services team, Danielle McMahon's the young lady that runs that, and they just did a fabulous job. Our chefs, our cooks, our dining room
did
people
not miss one meal.
Not a single one. So that's that dates. I think our date that things started with the terrible pandemic was about March 13, 2020.
Yeah, you bet.
And now we're getting back open again. Things are getting back to normal, and that's something we want to talk about. Maybe if you have a minute to talk about our volunteers.
Let's do. How could someone get involved with St. Vincent de Paul?
Well, it's interesting because before, you know, we had the issues that we all battled through with the pandemic. We were probably at a level of 12 to 14,000 volunteers a year that came to our campus or the other things we do that helped us run all our programs, and they're vital to us. And so we're starting to reopen that, and, you know, people are beginning to feel more comfortable and understanding, and the vaccine level's high and the resistance is high for people who've had it. So we're welcoming people back, and we really need the help as we're going into 2022.
How would someone reach out to St. Vincent de Paul?
You know, it's easy, sir, and I'm glad you asked. It's on our website, which is stvincentdepaul.net. So that's S-T, Vincent DePaul, that's DEPAUL.net. And just go to the tab that says Get Involved, click there. You can have a good view of what's available and whatever, but I must say that we're in great shape for through Christmas. But starting the Monday after Christmas, we've got to drive on to see if we can get back to our old levels. So if listeners would consider that, we have a very safe environment in which to volunteer in every way.
And I'm guessing that doesn't require, with 80 satellite offices, it doesn't require going to the main campus.
Well, most of it is the main campus.
Okay.
And
right.
our 80 chapters are really specially trained Vincentians that do that.
Okay.
But they're, you know, they need help too. But, if someone's in an outlying area, generally, but most of the help we look for generally is on our campus, which is between 7th Avenue and Central, just south of downtown. And it's a beautiful 10-acre campus.
Sure is.
That we'd love to people to come see. Well, thank you, Rosie. You've helped us make it a beautiful campus through the years.
Well,
you and all your listeners.
How about goals for next year? What, y'all have anything in particular? Just keep The keep doing
well,
what you're doing?
It is, but the single biggest one is to try and get return to doing business with our volunteers again and re-welcoming them into our programs to reintroduce them to life after the pandemic. So that's number one goal is to bring back our volunteers, get them comfortable, get them slated. I know it's very interesting. We had a one of our chapters, to your note, out in Sun City that was very active for years working on our campus. They'd actually take a bus in one day a week and come in and spend 4 or 5 hours on campus volunteering. And, of course, that ended during the pandemic. And lo and behold, last week I got an email unsolicited. Hey, John, our members have all decided they want to come back to campus. So that's a good sign and tells people that you know, our place of doing business is safe and sound.
Arizona homeowners, if you have a will to help your community, St. Vincent de Paul has a way.
Thank you, sir. I couldn't have said it better, Rosie. And you know, you support wonderful community groups. We're just one of them. But I would say we're the one that helps families of all kinds, all backgrounds. We have no test whatsoever about what anybody's background or interest or religion. We don't even ask. All we want to know is, do you really need help, and how can we help? And our limitation on that is simply funds. So like every nonprofit, we look for that support, and as people make their plans maybe leading up to the first of the year,
okay,
keep us in mind. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do that through our website too.
Okay.
I think the other message I need to send is our great gratitude to the community. The community has been tremendously supportive through these times, and things could have been much more difficult without that support. And it starts with people right here that are in the Rosie on the House family and what all of you have done and all your listeners have done through the years. So we're really grateful for that.
Well, as far as an organization that we believe is truly making a positive impact in the community, we raise St. Vincent de Paul as one of the very few that we try and invest a lot of time, resources, and attention to.
Well, we're sure grateful. What a blessing it is to have the friendship of the Rosie crew and family and your listeners across the state. I run into them everywhere, and it's such an honor to be a part of this with your listeners that do so much. And you know, we're all hoping and praying that 2022 will be a good year for everyone and that things start getting back to normal.
Now give the listeners an idea. When you say y'all didn't miss one meal since March of 2020, how many meals a day, how many people are you feeding? The number is ginormous.
We're doing about 4,000 per day on our charity dining rooms. But then you have to add in the food boxes that our Vincentians do to homes and all the rest. And it's
plus, plus, plus.
So it's, you know, and listen, we're not the do-all, end-all solution to everything. I had one person say, well, you all are just a Band-Aid. You know, you should do more for the poor. And it's like, well, you know, when you're bleeding pretty bad, a Band-Aid's a pretty handy thing to have. And we do more, and we help people not just get over a single problem, but we stay in touch and we work very hard to do things on a long-term basis.
I mean, your housing facility, the Piper Medical Facility, I mean, what y'all do is incredible.
Well, we do it because people work with us hand-in-hand and decide to help us. We don't get any kind of regular church funding. We don't get any kind of regular government fund. No government funding really to speak of. We do get some help from the Veterans Administration for some of our senior residents in our shelter. We do get some help from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is a great program for food that they make available to food banks and what they call congregate meals programs. We get that support, but percentage-wise, it's very small. It really, the great, great lion's share, well over 95%, comes about because people make a decision to help. And, you know, I think that's a great thing because we deserve to be seen as someone, as a place where someone can be confident in their support. So people look at us carefully before supporting. And then when they come down and have a look, we're very grateful that we
That's
qualify.
All they need to do. I'll tell you from personal testimony, Mr. John Junker, the director of Vicentian Support Services for the state of Arizona, can't thank you enough for coming in and sharing the message, the vision, and the accomplishments and the goals of St. Vincent de Paul.
Rosie, we thank you and the whole Rosie on the House family, Romy, of course, and Miss Jennifer and the whole team, and our best wishes for happy holidays and a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all your listeners.
And to you as well.